he volunteered at 17, you know, during the Second World War, and the Air Force sent him to school. They sent him to the University of Arkansas, and he was a cadet, you know. And right about that time, though, you know, the war was winding up. They didn't need cadets, so they put him in as a flight steward. So he served 13 months in the South Pacific. He flew, but not the plane. He was kind of like a stewardess on an airliner now, you know. He weighed the cargo and made sure it was proper weight on each side, balanced and all that kind of thing. Right. He never joined his father's church.
Really?
He wasn't a Christian when we married, see. Because, see, you don't know anything about Primitive Baptist, do you? It really is for old people. It's not in fact, the business, they won't accept a young person into their church. You have to be pretty old before you can join their church. No, you got to be up in your 20s. You know, you got to be pretty old. Well, in fact, the business, my husband said that he accepted Christ as his Savior when he was about 15, but he knew his father's church would not accept him and would not baptize him or anything. So he went on then until he started studying his Bible, and then he decided he didn't believe like they did. He couldn't join that church. And then we got married. After we got married, and he started studying and going to church with me and everything, well, he joined my church.
Mm-hmm. How Primitive Baptist, do they speak in tongues?
No. They're just like us. They're just like Southern Baptists or Convention Baptists and all other Baptists, except for one thing. They believe in predestination. Do you know what predestination means? Well, okay, you have no will over anything in your life, nothing you do. It's all planned out for you before you're ever born.
Mm-hmm.
You have no control at all over your destiny or what you do. Everything is predestined. It's all set out ahead of time. And they believe some people are born saved and some people are born lost.
What's the point of getting saved?
Well, that's what I never could figure out, why Christ would come to die for somebody that's already saved, you know. Die to save somebody that's already saved. That just doesn't make sense to me. But in essence, to me, they believe like this, like God's standing up here and he's got the people going out on a conveyor belt below him, you know, and he just drops his finger and say, you're saved, you're lost, and you're saved. This is for the ever born. In my mind, that's my imagination about the way they believe that you see, no choice at all, no choice at all in their salvation. That's the way they believe. And I have been with my husband, right now, Virgil's dad lives in a nursing home. And the children, he doesn't preach anymore, but the children take turns taking him to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And every fifth Sunday is our turn, and I go with Virgil to take him to church. And they don't believe in musical instruments. They have nice churches,
mm-hmm.
very nice, air conditioned, and paneling and everything. But they've got their song books about, like an inch and a half thick and about, say 5 inches tall and 4 inches wide, and no music, no notes or anything in there. And each song has got about 6, 7 to 10 or 12 verses. And I don't know how they remember the tunes. Those tunes have been passed down from generation to generation.
That's not like
a Sacred Harp. Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
I've heard
all the tunes sound pretty much alike, you know. They don't sing with about 5 notes. They don't use but about 5 notes. And I sing by ear, you might say. And so Virgil told me, he said, and I'm a big hand to sing. I sing all the time. And so he said, I guarantee you're not going to be able to sing. I said, I bet you I do.